Our text tonight is John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now the Lord Jesus had told his disciples of his death. He had told them of his departure. He had washed the disciples' feet. He had instructed them in the grace of humility. He had told them that he would be betrayed by one of them. They began to ask, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Judas had departed to carry out his betrayal scheme and to sell his Lord for $18. The Apostle Peter had boasted that he would lay down his life for Christ's sake. I'll follow thee, Lord. I'll lay down my life for your sake. And the Master had interrupted Peter in his idle boasting and told him that he would deny him not once, not twice, but three times. Now the disciples were troubled. Their Lord was about to leave them. He was about to die. One of them was betraying the Master. The Apostle Peter was shocked to learn from the lips of the Master that he would deny his Lord. And they were discouraged. Humanly speaking, they had many reasons for their discouragement and many reasons for their sorrow, because they couldn't see beyond the moment. If these disciples had been able to see the design of his death, if they had been able to comprehend or understand what would be accomplished by the death of their Lord, if they could have seen beyond this moment, if they could have seen their sins all removed, their guilt put away, if they could have seen God the Father reconciled to them, if they could have seen themselves out preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit and sinners being brought to a knowledge of Christ, they would have rejoiced. But they could not see as we can't see the future. All in the world that they could see was the Lord leaving them. All they could see was their enemies descending upon them. All they could see was one of their number betraying and another denying and the rest forsaking. The Lord Jesus Christ does not remove our crosses. He does not always remove our burdens. But he comforts us under those crosses and under those burdens. And he comforts us by encouraging us to believe in him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You believe in God, the Creator. You believe in God, the Governor of all things. You believe in God, the King of the universe. You believe in God, the Preserver of all things in whom we live and move and have our being. You believe the promises of God in Moses. You believe the promises of God in the Psalms and in the prophets. You believe all that he spoke concerning the Messiah. You believe the Redeemer is to come and save Israel. You believe that? Then he says, believe in me. Now my message tonight has four points. First of all, Jesus Christ is the sole object of faith. Whether it be faith for salvation, or faith for strength, or faith for comfort, or faith for death, or faith for judgment, or faith for eternity, Jesus Christ is the sole object of faith. Years ago, there was a famous preacher and writer by the name of Stephen Charnock. I have his works, and they're unusually good. And he made this statement, God, apart from Christ, is an angry God. God, apart from Christ, is an offended sovereign. And unless we behold him in and through the mediator, Jesus Christ, the terrors of his majesty would overwhelm us. We dare not approach God the Father except in Christ the Son because of our sins. We first must fasten our eyes upon Christ and then upon the Father. We first must call upon Christ and then the Father. We first must rest in Christ and then in the Father. For if Jesus Christ doth not bear our guilt and reconcile us unto God and intercede for us as our mediator, we perish before any man can think to stand before the face of God's justice or be admitted to the secret chambers of God's mercy or partake of the riches of God's grace. He must look to Christ, the mediator, the great high priest, the intercessor who satisfies God's justice and honors God's holy law. For it was of his Son he said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, that it is by Christ that we believe in God. He says in verse 18, "You know you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." That's how you were redeemed. You know that. "As a lamb without spot or blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God." The covenant was made before the world. The people were given to Christ before the world was founded and created. But he was manifest in these last days, and he was manifest for you who by him do believe in God. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians, it's the second chapter. Galatians 2, Paul says in verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." How's a man justified? Not by the works of the law. He's justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Hebrews 7:25. Turn over there. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Listen to the word of God. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost," or evermore, "that come unto God by him." Christ is the sole object of faith. We come to God only by Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession." He lives eternally to make intercession. He has always lived to make intercession. He shall always live to make intercession for them. He is our wisdom to take away our foolishness and rest our trust in his redemptive work, the cross. He is our righteousness to remove our filthy rags and present us holy and without blame before His majesty. He is our sanctification to clear us of that which is offensive before the Father, and He is our redemption. At the cross where I first saw the light, and there the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there, by faith, I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name. I'm so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross, that's where He took me in. Glory to His name. Christ is the sole object of faith. Secondly, turn to Psalms 110. Christ was always the sole object of faith. Not as distinctly as now, not as clearly revealed as now, not as openly understood as now, but Christ was always the object of faith. Now watch this, Psalm 110. You say, what are you going back there to the book of Psalms for, to prove that Christ was always the object of faith? Christ did it before me. In Psalms 110, verse 1, David wrote, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." When David speaks of the Father, he says, "The Lord." "The Lord said unto my Lord." Who's he talking about there? He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Christ. If you'll go over here to Matthew 22, verse 44, you'll see Christ referring to this scripture right here, talking about Him being the Messiah. Matthew 22, verse 44. Turn over there. He said in verse 42 to the Pharisees, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 42, He said to the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ? What think ye of the Messiah? What think ye of the Redeemer?" And they said unto Him, "He's the son of David." This Messiah is going to be the son of David. They didn't believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They didn't believe He was the Christ. And so Christ said, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He?" They said, "He's the son of David." And He saith unto them, "Then how doth David in spirit call Him Lord?" David calls Him capital L-O-R-D, Lord, saying, "The Lord, the Heavenly Father, said unto my Lord, Christ the Messiah, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." David's object of faith was not the Hebrew sacrifices, it was Christ. David's object of faith was not his good works, it was Christ. I don't know, I reckon we're just going to have to take a hammer and beat this into folks' head. I don't know any other way to get it there. Holy Spirit won't put it there. How in the world you going to get it there? My wife teaches a Sunday school class, and I pride myself on the fact that even the boys and girls in this church know how to be saved. Well, she asked them this morning in class, these are first graders, and she asked them, she said, "How are people saved?" And one of them raised his hand. She called on him. He said, "Well, just try to be a little better. Try to be a little better." And one little fella sitting next to him said, "It's awful hard. It's awful hard to be good for very long." Now you think about it. You chew on that just a little while. They're raised here hearing about Christ, but they don't hear it. People sit here Sunday after Sunday listening to the gospel, but they don't hear it. inbred, ingrained, inborn in every one of you is salvation by works, and you're going to get to heaven by your works in spite of hell. That's just exactly what most of you believe. But I'm here to tell you, you're not going to make it. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And if you don't have mercy, you're going to hell. Now, I don't know what it'll take to get you to understand that. David looked to Christ. He didn't look to his works. He didn't look to his victories. He didn't look to the law. He didn't look to the Hebrew sacrifices. He says, the Lord said to my Lord, it's clear to Moses, turn to Hebrews 11, it's clear to Moses way back yonder, and I'll tell you, their revelations weren't as clear as yours. They didn't have the completed Bible. Most of them didn't even have a Bible. They listened to the prophets. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath spoken to us in these last days by His Son, and we won't even hear Him. We're so bullheaded. Our heads are concrete blocks. We just can't get it through our heads that God will show mercy through Christ and only through Christ. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, listen to it. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, of whom? Of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In whom did Moses trust? In Christ. In Christ, not in himself. He saw greater riches and greater honor in Christ than he did in Egypt or in Israel. In Christ. It's clear to Abraham. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, he offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shalt thy seed be called. Accounting, Abraham believed that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And there on that Mount Moriah, when he raised that knife to plunge it into the heart of his only son, God says, don't touch the lad. Look over there, caught in the thicket as a ram. Offer that ram in the stead of your son. And Christ said, in that day, Abraham saw my day. Abraham saw substitution. Abraham saw redemption. Abraham saw Christ the sacrifice. And he rejoiced, Christ said. Not in his works. He rejoiced in me. Look at Hebrews 11, 4. Abel saw it. Abel, the object of faith, was Christ for David, Moses, Abraham, Abel. Look, Hebrews 11, 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was a sacrifice of faith. It was belief in the person signified by that sacrifice. That's what Abel rested in. It was the person signified by the sacrifice. Abel was not ignorant of the promised seed of woman if mama had taught him about it. For did you know that Eve looked for the Messiah? Turn to Genesis chapter 4. I'll show you that. And you buy you another translation. And buy your Bible study book and a commentary, and you'll see that this is true. When Adam and Eve had fallen, when they had sinned, God promised the Messiah, God promised the Savior. He said, the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head, destroy its power. And when Eve gave birth to her first son, she thought she had given birth to the Messiah. For she says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man. And your better translations will read it this way, I've gotten a man, dash, the Lord. The Lord. That's who she thought Cain was. She thought he was the Messiah. She thought he was the Redeemer. She thought he was the Savior. And she says, I've gotten a man, the Lord. The Lord. Now turn to Luke chapter 2. Christ was always the object of faith. Those who were under the law, who believed, had their faith set upon the Messiah. When the Lord Jesus was born of Mary and was brought to the temple in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this same man was just and devout. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he'll not see death till he'd seen whom? The one he's looking for, the Christ. The one David looked for, the Christ. The one Abraham saw, the Christ. The one Eve thought she had, the Christ. And the Holy Spirit said, Simeon, you're not going to die till you see the Lord's Christ. He's waiting on him. And verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know what Jacob said on his deathbed? He said in Genesis 49:18, O Lord, I have waited for thy salvation. I have waited for thy salvation. And here Simeon takes up the child Jesus in his arms and says, now I'm ready to die. I've seen thy salvation. It's here. Right in my arms. Turn to John chapter 4. Did you know that even the Samaritan woman, the woman who was living in adultery and who had been married 4 or 5 times, was looking for the Messiah? These people were taught that a Redeemer would come. In John 4, verse 28, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men in the city, come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? You reckon this is the Messiah? You reckon this is the Christ? Turn to John 1. Listen to Philip in verse 45. Philip found Nathanael, and he said, Nathanael, we found him. These people weren't trusting in their works. These people weren't trusting in the Hebrew sacrifices. These people weren't trusting in the law. The sole object of their hope and refuge and trust was the Christ. That's who they were looking for. And Philip found Nathanael and said, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. We found him. He's Jesus of Nazareth. And then Nathanael said the same thing in John 1:49. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus said, Nathanael, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than these. Why, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Christ is the sole object of faith, and Christ to the believer always has been the sole object of faith. And then Christ is the object of faith in his person and in his work. Our text says this. Look at it. Look at it again. Let not your heart be trouble. You believe in God, believe also in me, in his person. I am the Messiah. I am the great person anointed by the Father to redeem. This faith is not in a promise, it's in a person. This faith is not in a plan, it's in a person. This faith is not in a purpose, it's in a person. There is a purpose, and there is a plan, and there is a promise. But it's all incorporated in a person. He said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Look unto me, and be you saved. And this faith is not only in his person, but in his work. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. And true faith looks to Christ, the person who effectually performs the necessary work to accomplish God's plan. He's not only God, but he's man. He's not only man, he's the crucified man. He's not only the crucified man, he's the risen man. He's not only the risen man, he's the ascended man. He's not only the ascended man, he's the accepted man. And he's not only the accepted man, he's the coming man who will reign eternally. And he's sufficient in all his offices. Nothing can be or need be added to Christ. For he's the sole object of faith, and there is no other. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. It's not believe in me and in your profession, however sincere, however honest, but believe in me. And I will say, it is not believe in me and in your church, however strong the bond and the fellowship, however confident you are in your creed and in your doctrine, it's believe in me. It is not believe in me and your baptism, however separating it was, however great it was, however sincere it was, it's believe in me. It is not believe in me and in your experience, however life-changing, however climactic, however great it was, it's believe in me. It's not believe in me and in your works, however sacrificial or however self-denying, it is believe in me. Let not your heart be troubled, trouble over sin, trouble over death, trouble over judgment, trouble over eternity. You believe in God, you believe in me. It is not believe in me and the saints, it's believe in me. No other lamb was slain. No other sacrifice was given. No other foundation was laid. And no other way is provided. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And it's as foolish to try to add to Christ as it is to hold a candle up to help the sun give light. That's about what our works are worth. We stand out here in a noonday sun, a brilliant sun in the month of August, and it's beaming down, and a silly fella gets a candle out and lights it and holds it up and says, I'm going to help the sun to give light to the world. The sun doesn't need your candle, and Christ doesn't need your merit, and Christ doesn't need your works, and Christ doesn't need your righteousness, and Christ doesn't need anything you have. The sun is sufficient. Address yourself only to Christ. Believe only in Christ. Cling only to Christ. And hope only in Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, do you? Believe also in me. Our Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, make the word effectual to the understanding and to the profit of thy people. reveal Christ to the heart, bring us to see sin and guilt and human depravity and inability. Bring us to see, as David, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, that God's salvation is Christ, that God's way of life is Christ, that God's anointed Redeemer is Christ and Christ alone. God did not commission the church to save, but to preach the Savior. God did not set forth the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper to redeem, but to remember the Redeemer and be identified with Him. Grant, O Lord, that our attention and our faith and our confidence may only rest in Christ. He's worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our confidence. For we're persuaded He's able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day of wrath, that day of glory, that day of judgment, and that day when the nation shall be assembled in Thy holy presence, and the sheep divided from the goats, and we shall not be ashamed. He that believeth on Christ shall not be ashamed. He that believeth on Christ shall not be confounded. He that believeth on Christ shall not be lacking. But he shall enter with his Lord into the kingdom prepared from the foundations of this world. Give us faith to believe, and, O Lord, help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.